Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everybody, to this Sunday's episode of An Emerging Forest, this first show in August 2018. Another start to a week, another continuation on the journey. And just to summarize how I think or how I've thought for a few years, I look at everything as being a gift, and I look at everything as continuing on the journey and continuing to build your character through experience. So just like you might be working over in one wing of your vast character, and then you're working over in another wing of your character, working on little bits and pieces, adding experiences. And over time, over an enormous amount of time, you begin to add capabilities, you begin to add skills, you begin to add ways of thinking, you begin to feel confident in yourself, and you begin to look less to the outside society for what you should be doing. And you look more to your internal character. You look at society's guardrails and training wheels and little customs and traditions, and you kind of give them a little bit of play, but not really. I mean, they're not what's for you. What's for you is what you need to do next. And basically, one person, whoever is controlling society right now, sort of has everybody else in thrall, and we're to some extent or another making that dream happen. And then there's a bunch of generalized experience that everybody's rushing after the dollar, rushing after the 55 and 70 inch televisions and things like that, just running after this sort of universal one size fits all, hey, everybody watch TV and be idolized, and you can just say, you can spell idol with I-D-O-L, and you can spell idol and I-D-L-E. And I figured out after having passed through an incredibly negative set of experiences in my life, when I couldn't see any reason that I should continue to live. And I came out the other end having fully or more fully grasped that everything is positive and everything isn't negative, or there isn't black and white, it's all positive. And sort of in that moment, I went from vilifying myself to understanding that everything needs to be done. Everything needs to happen. You're a set of skills that includes all of the skills. Everything that's labeled PT Nice as everything that's labeled dark and you don't want to go down that alley skills. All of the skills. So that's the way I think. That's the way I have come to think. But I also have respect for how everyone else thinks, because I'm just one particular shade of the overall manifestation that's going on right now. And I really am a big believer in the Spiritual Unity Radio Network concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. So what I am going to talk about tonight, everything that I talk about on my radio program, my opinion. And I don't want to say that I've thought about my opinion more than other people, but I've taken apart a great vast languages and histories and money systems of the present society, and I can't live with them anymore. There's something that I've obviously experienced enough where I'm bored to death with them, and I just can't put up with them anymore. So I was actually thinking about positive programming, which is Rumi's Out Beyond the Notions of Right Doing and Wrong Doing. There's a field, I'll meet you there, which means everything's positive. And Hafiz is the place that you are right now, God or your soul or yourself. Circled on a map for you. You're progressing along just nicely. Don't get freaked out. And so that's one way of thinking about it, the positive way. And then there's what that's what we grow up with in society, where there's just things you just can't do. You do that, you're a bad person, and there's no hope for you. You're a sinner, and you're just gonna, you know, you might as well, you know, throw yourself in the gutter and hit yourself with a hammer and just smash yourself down into that gutter because you're never coming out. And This is a program set that is really universal, and it's basically a commercial stance that Umbrella wants you to ingest, to basically eat up and be a good little person and never go down and get those dark alley skills. And never stray from the coloring within the lines. And one way they do that is they constantly, repetitively give you programming. And I happen to have an interlude in my life, and sometimes I have interludes in my life, and they're very notable when I notice something that's happening universal, or I realize something in my life, I actually start singing. And so I started singing a Beatles song. And, of course, when the lyrics were coming out of my mouth, I was basically catcalling them. But I was catcalling them in rhyme, and I don't have a recording of what I sang. But I just like to what I'm about to do may seem a little dry to you. It may seem boring. But for me, actually looking at what someone wrote down or what someone wants you to believe, and really looking at the words and understanding what they want you to believe what the contract is that they're handing you in this jingly package. It is, for me, it's incredibly important because someone is just basically saying, can I borrow your ethical set and change it to what I want you, how I want you to dance? So somebody is asking you to dance for the rest of your life in with their jingly thing, not just going into your head, but actually programming your actions. So the first stanza of yesterday is, yesterday all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Well, I believe in yesterday. Second stanza. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Fourth stanza. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. And then there's continuing verses that are repetitions of what I just read. So it's like someone is, they're handing you blueprints that you can follow for the rest of your life and take these this mode of action to heart, and you can call it the American way, you can call it, you know, the model of your idols, so that you might think this is the model of your idols, where it's just commercialized way of life given to some commercial boy band, who then basically gets it broadcast and goes around the world and says, this is, you know, hey, we work for the Queen. I mean, they all got knighted, right? So they work for the Queen, and the Queen is like a big commercial broadcast. She's in charge of the broadcasting of the way of the company. So, first of all, let's just dig a little bit into time. And it's 13 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. And, of course, this is a live radio program. If you want to call in and talk about and give counterpoints to what I'm talking about tonight, or talk about other things in the same area, or talk about what you want to talk about, the number to call in is 646-564-9714. Time, once again, time is very interesting, because I don't look at time as actually existing. I look at experience and skills as actually changing your character. And time is basically something you fill in waiting for your next experience. So age, time is in limitless supply, whereas this society says it's a very short time. I say, no, you have to have lots and lots of patience and understand that there's going to be lots and lots of trials and hardships, and just get through them. You'll be fine, and choose the hard things to do in life. Choose to go back to square one and start from square one and build yourself up again from over there. So there's this comparative time thing that's going on in this song, where they're saying, hey, yesterday everything was great, and now everything's terrible. Well, I don't believe that I believe that everything is always the same, but it's building so that everything every day is always magnificent or awesome. And that tomorrow you will have put down a little bit of more of awesomeness yesterday so that everything will be even more awesome today. So getting done the tasks that you need to do, get done to prepare better for tomorrow is a really good idea, because then everything will be even more awesome tomorrow. Facing those tough tasks, getting that extra exercise in, getting the documents written up that you need to get written up in order to be prepared, in order to have them in your back pocket. So the first stanza, yesterday all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. So what it wants you to do is it wants you to basically say, everything was better 3 weeks ago, 6 months ago, back when I was a kid. And now that I'm older, everything has just gone to heck. Right? So they're basically saying you're in a no-win situation. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Yesterday came suddenly. Once again, we're doing the same thing. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. I used to be better than this, but now there's a shadow hanging over me. This is horrible. I just can't seem to, you know, get out from under this horrible situation. Once again, in my perspective, which I had to actually arrive at having been indoctrinated into this particular school, I'll call it the yesterday school, or let's live in yesteryear, because those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever at a day. Remember that song? That's another song that does exactly the same thing. Or, you know, back in our youth, you know, back when I was 15, those were the best days. It just isn't that way. Or it just isn't that way for me. Once again, this is my opinion of how mathematics and the universe works. You're building a character. You want to get more built. You want to build some today. You want to build some tomorrow. You don't get discouraged. You keep on building. Time is meaningless. Take care of yourself, but time is meaningless. Bodies are disposable. You'll get another one. Just keep building your character. And then they have to bring in the requirement that allows them to create more slaves, which is male-female relationships. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say, I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. I'm a single guy. I believe that I might not ever have a relationship like is sold as being what we're supposed to be doing here. It's a commercial concept. I mean, is the monk who who is a virgin his whole life, who basically lives on a mountaintop, is his life invalid? Or life invalid? No, I mean, they basically said, I'm going to follow my heart. Well, I'm going to follow my heart, too. Once again, why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say, I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Once again, they're saying everything was great in the past. Finally, fourth stanza. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Once again, to me, love is very important. But I don't look at it as being the same as, you know, okay, male-female relationship, oh, there's love. I look at it as an understanding of where I am. Love is continuous. Love is the building. Love is doesn't turn off, doesn't turn on. Love just builds. So this society wants to say, if you are not in a relationship, you are without love. Or if you are in a relationship, you are in love. And once again, they can just basically throw your life, you can throw your life against the rocks and say, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a boyfriend, it was horrible. Oh, I wish I could, you know, what did I say that was wrong to that person? You can't say anything that's wrong to a person. It's not possible. When you're supposed to move away from a person, you're just going to say something to drive that person away. It's just completely natural to move away from the person. Don't be grabby. Don't be saying, oh, we have to stay together. No, just move on. It's time. I mean, things are more fluid than that. So my summary of this song and my summary of this social, when you were young, when you were 15, when you were 20 years old, those were the days when things were better. Or when it's sunny outside, those were the days when it was better, and now that there are storm clouds above you, it's just horrible. Or now that you're an older person and you might not be as physically able as you were when you were younger, things are terrible. And you're in this lifestyle that maybe wasn't what you had fantasized about, and you can look at yourself and say these are troubled times. Hardship, life is about living a lifestyle where you have enough, or you have more than enough, is sort of barely adequate in this society. There's all kinds of crap to spend your money on. And then you can basically sit there with your beer on your belly and watch your 70-inch or your 84 or your 100 or your just this whole panel of a wall is your television, and the sports figures are actually larger than life because your television is so doggone big. I'm just not able to understand that. Hey, caller, who's this? Hello? Dave? Talk to you later. Anyway, somebody called, and I just wanted to give him a chance to be on the radio. It might be Dave. Dave Miller. So, this society is a lot about testing your mind, testing your mental fortitude, testing whether you want to get out of bed or not, and testing how dedicated you are and how many times you need to go through the punching bag in order to come out with a positive attitude. Hey, Dave, are you there? So, right now seems like a good time for a break. And let's search through the musical library that I'm provided with and come up with a song. Dive the Bard, Green and Gray. See you in about 8 minutes, everyone. Take care.
Around the 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm far. Dominion over this land. bill comes from your hand. The piper said if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh you tempt us, to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said whatever happened to free will. Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm fallen.
Talk to you in the
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Welcome back, everyone, to this August 5th, 2018 show. I talk about positive mindset. In the first half hour, we talked about the non-positive mindset song called Yesterday from the Beatles, and sort of interjected, sort of contrasted how I think about the world from a positive perspective with their shadow hanging over me, or girl left you, et cetera, et cetera. And I managed to track down our caller, whose name is Dave Miller. Hello, Dave.
Hey, thank you. And, you know, if you think about the Beatles, when they started, they were pretty innocent. Love, love me do. And then they went into Mother Mary called to me. I mean, they got very sophisticated in their lyrics. They were kind of like our teachers along the path in some ways.
Well, I can be innocent myself and think that they were unassisted songwriters. Or I can be vindictive and a little bit wiser and say they're just another boy band spouting the mantra of the corporate world.
Well, they started as a boy band, but they got their own control. At some point, they were smart enough to know. You don't think so?
I mean, George Martin ran them,
but they were doing their own stuff. They were going out to India. They were learning. You know, they were experimenting with drugs. They were doing so many things that in that time period was somewhat innocent, but yet somewhat prophetic. I mean, their lyrics definitely.
I think they were a very, very controlled corporate product.
Which might be why they broke up.
Well, corporate products, as we well know, only have a certain shelf life to them, and then they move on. And sort of after a certain number of years of the Beatles being on top of the world, I think it was starting to probably get a little bit old.
True.
They could have. They basically needed to unplug us or unplug the world from being.
How would you compare that to the Rolling Stones? Because that was their rival, if you want to call it a rival. The Rolling Stones had their own audience, and they even shared one or two songs over the years. But the Rolling Stones remained rebel independent, whereas the Beatles did movies and orchestral music. They really discovered a lot that other bands have never even challenged since then.
Right.
How many people do Yellow Submarine or all these other things that they tried? And I've listened to interviews. They really opened up that music is not just a four guys with, you know, cute haircuts and writing some simple three songs. They went into, you know, a hint of jazz, and they taught us. The White Album, the other albums that they did, broke into territory, Sgt. Pepper's, all those albums really broke away from rock and roll into what I think later Queen followed and other Pink Floyd maybe. You know, these groups realized you could create an album that was a story and not just a simple song that had to be on the radio.
Yeah, it's interesting to once again put on my non-wise hat and basically look at what the Beatles did as being sort of an artistic mountaintop.
Okay.
And no one since, I mean, some bands have tried to be at the same level. Pink Floyd has tried. Yes, have tried. Queen have tried. But there's no way they're even close.
Correct. They don't have the longevity.
The quality of the vocals, the quality sound of the vocals, but the lyrics, even though they're programmed, like I talked about in the first half an hour, to be extremely depressing, the quality of the rhythms and the rhyming and the poetry is...
They didn't have George Martin. They didn't have... Yeah.
Is so much, it's so much better than what we have. You know, here we are, you know, oh, yesterday was so great, and now what we have today is so crap.
Well, you got a good point. Some of the stuff they did, even if it was in mono, sounded and felt far better than the lyrics today. I will appreciate rap. I'll be promoting Tabitha Booth at my next Touch Mother Earth, and she's got an energy that I will appreciate. Is she right there yet? No way. No way. She doesn't have the history or feeling that I guess maybe it was hard growing up in England. And, you know, there was something about the four of them in the early years, although they got thrown into corporate world, like you were saying earlier.
Right.
They got produced. Once they got produced, then they had to produce. They had to have their albums. They had to have, you know, one a year or whatever.
Yeah.
They took their break and then did another album. But they still, even when they experimented, when they went to India and experimented with, you know, the Maharishi, and they were able to incorporate that into their music. What a blessing, because they could have lost themselves as a group. Could have dropped out. They could have gotten too high, stoned, whatever. But instead, they actually wanted to share with the world what they were exploring. And as a result, we were exploring with them. And I know I was too young. I mean, we're talking 69. I was 9. I really didn't know the Beatles other than basic radio play until, oh my God, I remember my mom and I hearing on the radio, and I was 17. And we're like, somewhere in the Black Mountain Hills, Lord Dakota, lived a young boy named Rocker Raccoon. And that was the White Album. And we realized that we were both 20 years apart in age, listening to the same group from a different point of view, but appreciating it likewise. That's how long they spent. And now we're going into, what, 50 years, 60 years? We're 63 to 2018. We're still listening to their music as crisp in some of the songs, because their words did. Some of the early ones were simple boy meets girl, and then they got into these sophisticated things that you were alluding at the beginning of this event. You know, they were thinking. Lovely Rita, the Meter Maid, the whole, you know, like she died and, you know, nobody was saved. I mean, like, they brought in words that you don't normally bring into songs. You know, why did a woman die at a grave? And that's not your typical romance song. And yet, they were deep. They were deep enough that other bands covered them. The Bee Gees and all these bands that covered them in the Sgt. Pepper's movie, they had so many people take on Maxwell Silverhammer. What's that about? It's a silly song, yet it's got some profound meaning. Frank them on his hand, Axel Silver's hand, you know, until he was dead. Were they just making silly lyrics, or were they giving us these little messages, you know, to listen to? And then, you know, when they went off on their own, Ringo had some of his own good stuff, and George Harrison definitely got deep especially into the Indian music, they each showed us a solid progression where they were sophisticated. And everything Paul McCartney and Wings has ever done basically had a lot of hits. Not because they're hits, but because they have good or fun or odd lyrics. The odd lyrics is what the Beatles were always known for, was the odd lyrics. You were like, Octopus's Garden? What's that song all about? You know, you would like listen to them, you'd sing them along, but did you ever analyze what did it really mean? They don't even know half the time what it means. They interview Paul, well, Paul and Ringo are the only two alive, but they'll ask him, what do they mean? And they'll go, well, we started with this and ended up that. And they just kind of went along with the flow. But sometimes they are very prophetic. Why not
yep.
live in an octopus's garden in the shade, you know?
So
you brought up
a
good topic by starting. So let's go back to your topic. You really believe in some of the prophetics of the Beatles.
Well, I believe that... I believe that the Beatles are maybe a reflection of society's ethic, or I actually believe that they're working with a larger, you know, working for a larger corporate voice, and that larger corporate voice wants.
Do you think the corporate voice changed their lyrics?
No, I don't think the corporate voice changes their lyrics. I think the corporate voice gives them their lyrics. So, maybe this is closer to the point. The Beatles can just be writing a reflection of how they felt in society when they were equivalently programmed by the depressive, when you're young, everything's great, but when you get older, everything sucks.
When you get older, 64, will you still... So we need to hear from the audience. Are they feeling that way? I would like other
people
to call in, because I've never thought about the corporate overriding them in the sense you're speaking.
There's two perspectives you can take. You can either say that the Beatles wrote everything they wrote. It's like Shakespeare. When people say, did Shakespeare write everything that he is supposed to have written? And then you look at the volume and the quality level that the Beatles wrote at, and you can basically say, well, did they write all of this? And they may very well have written it, but it's like some of the things that I write. I write a particular piece and put it on Facebook, and but it's a reflection of a particular way that other people have thought in the past. Maybe at some point I wrote something that was really depressive, which was more along the lines of how yesterday is written. Maybe I wrote that earlier in my life. So you're not controlled. What you're writing is not directly controlled by the larger society would like to have you think, but you think that way just because you were brought up in the society. So maybe after the Beatles went to India and had some influence from the positive people in India, maybe that's why some of the later songs are
reflected
more
that,
silly.
Yeah.
Or reflected they basically reflected a subject where no one could say, hey, that's getting me down, because it was so silly and about such, you know, as you said, an octopus's garden in the shade. Right. They basically say, you know, hey, it's a song, we had music to it, but we're not gonna allow you to be able to be depressed by our song, because we're not gonna put anything in it that's a signpost to being depressed.
Ooh. You know, well, they definitely shifted. We know they shifted after they went to India and met the Maharishi and they tripped and all those things. They can. That was early. I think that was, what, 66, 67, something like that. Once they came back, they started writing differently, you know, hence the White Album and Abbey Road and... thing. And then they, you know, got married and started breaking up and blah, blah, blah. So by the 70s, they were gone. Then there was the greatest hits of the Beatles, and they went their way. But it's amazing that they have remained a powerful force that even kids today recognize some of those songs 40 years later.
I mean, the thing about what they did is, regardless of what you want to point at, regardless of how you want to critique their material was done with a lot of craftsmanship. Craftsmanship,
and that would be
songs,
George Martin or whatever.
It's sort of, you look at something and you say, that was well done, or that was done to a level of excellence from every standpoint. So there was the craftsmanship of the song as written on paper, and then there was a craftsmanship of the performance to get it to be the song. Those are the songs that last a long time. The songs that are written today, maybe there's a few memorable songs, but then you say, well, okay, if we compare the best song from 2018 and we compare it to a Beatles middle of the road hit, and then you say to someone, which of these would you rather listen to? And then 10 years from now, you say, which one of these would you rather listen to? The reason the Beatles songs have such a lifespan is because of how well they were done.
Well, you definitely bring up an excellent point, because if you chose just two other examples, one would be if you were to compare the Rolling Stones, who were basically sidelining, or if you compared them with, I was going to say Queen, but Queen is later. There was another group I was thinking of. Longevity and meaningful lyrics. The Rolling Stones were a blues band. They had bar band lyrics. You know, they didn't have the love, love me do kind of energy that the Beatles had. And yet they paralleled, and they even shared, like I said earlier, one or two songs. They maintained themselves. Who lived side by side? They had their own lyrics. They were not the same band. Pink Floyd was definitely not a rock and roll band. They were a stoner band, or whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, you had some other lived, but not many groups have gone from the 60s all the way until the 70s plus. And I guess a lot did have to do with the lyrics connected. They were singable. We could sing along with them. We could karaoke before karaoke was involved. We sung with them anyway. The Beatles were accessible. And they were innocent in some ways.
Yeah. So you and I are going to get together next weekend.
Yes, we are.
To talk about... do you want to talk just a little bit, not more than a few minutes?
I can be brief. I am on board for Touch Mother Earth as a retreat rather than as a festival. It will be August 24th to 26th. I will bring maybe 2 to 4 people on board next weekend who will share why they want to enhance community. We just met on site today. We're ready to go. And I honor that you continue me in the program. I don't know what else I can say. I am very happy that you've promoted us in the past. You do a wonderful program of promoting people. I love it. And whoever's going to call in is going to be spontaneous. I'm sure there'll be, you know, like I said, 3-4 people, but they'll also be mentioning why they feel they'd be there, whether they're a volunteer or maybe a vendor, but it'll all be honest and honorable and, you know, what they're trying to do to co-create community. And that's what you do. So thank you.
Thank you. So basically you're going to have a you had such an outpouring of energy from Touch Mother Earth that
you
basically said, well, I don't really want to have the festival. What I want to have is something that's not basically like, okay, there's like 6 stages and continuous acts and it's like a circus,
exactly.
Right? You want to have something, I mean, maybe you want to have that Touch Mother Earth be once a year. So basically...
I'll still do that.
Right, I mean, but from some perspective, the Touch Mother Earth Festival is probably a little bit more approachable to a lot of people because they're used to the, to the 3 rings and the, you know, food's over here and so and so's over here, because there's so much vibe that you change where you say, oh, I'm sorry, you should have brought your own plates and knives and forks and stuff, dude. Or,
you bring
no,
a
there's
good
no plate.
Point. We want this to be more intimate.
I mean, basically, so you have, I mean, it's like when John's on the program from Permajam, he's
Permajam,
basically
right?
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, we're not even accessible. I mean, unless we know you and invite you. You can't get a ticket to us. Whereas when with your the Touch Mother Earth Festival, that's kind of like you're bringing people in and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any of that here. We don't have trash bags.
Hybrid.
Well,
you're
basically
you think
saying
about
hey, we're
for
accessible.
A
you,
word
you
of
can,
mouth
you can
is
come,
all we
but
need.
If you want. If you want to get Touch Mother Earth light, maybe you should go to the festival. Whereas if, you know, if you're coming to Touch Mother Earth retreat, you're going to kind of get a lot more culturally bent out of shape, right?
Well, we're all good. I will support John. I'll support Conrafest. I will support the other producers that are working in a holistic fashion. And
I support John Lee too.
Will be down at my own event. He'll be there from Friday to Saturday, and then he's got to go to a wedding on Sunday. So
okay.
You know, maybe he'll be on the radio tomorrow. One thing we're doing differently this time is we're offering talking sticks. So at each meal, first of all, if you're going to come for the whole weekend, you need to buy the pass. It's going to give you your four food passes, and it'll all be healthy food. And then when we pass this talking stick, we want community to talk. We want them, everybody, to have, it could be 1 minute. You could just hold the stick and say love and pass it on to somebody else. That would be cool. It could be a kid
right.
who goes, I love my mom. You know, it's all the beauty of passing this talking stick so that your voice is heard. Because a lot of times people are afraid to speak up or they don't know when the right time. And this is the time when we give them a stick and they could speak for 5 minutes if they want, 8 minutes. If they need, if they have something in their voice, something they need to vent, they have an audience to listen to them. They might cry. They might say, well,
the other
happened
the other
in
thing
my
that's
life.
Really,
my parent died, whatever.
The other thing that's interesting about that is at their first meal, when they get the talking stick, they might actually not say anything. But then when they see that, hey, you know, every person that gets this is actually allowed to talk and they're actually allowed to say how they feel, you know, I think that you watching the process of the talking stick over the weekend, I think there's
going
to be a lot of, you basically like the first couple of meals, it's going to go around like semi-quickly, but a couple people are going to be open and basically say, you know, how they feel. And then everybody else is going to be like, oh my gosh, I can actually say something.
You
and
bring up
I know you
very
had this, I know
valid
you had this,
point.
I know that you
they
had this
might
really
not
great
share
energy.
On Saturday, but by Sunday, they're ready.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, basically, you had this crucible, or you had this bubble at the festival where people were just like breaking down, and basically saying, "Hey, this is a safe space. I can actually be myself here," and sort of the people who were at the festival will get it right away. Hey, we're back in the safe space, and they'll be able to share. But people who are coming for the first time will be looking around, you know, with the city eyes all suspicious and stuff. And they you know.
Like, who knows me or whatever. Yep.
That's
going to
be pretty cool.
Valid. Alan, thank you for thinking that, because I've gotten validation in that. I have two ladies that want to volunteer who started at Touch Mother Earth and then went up to PermaJam, and both of them have said, thank you, Dave, for opening my eyes. I'm a single mom, or I wasn't sure.
Right.
And they now feel that they have felt their tribe, or that they can at least connect with somebody. And
well, the
and
thing,
then
the thing
one
is
woman,
that,
one
is
honor
a
woman.
It's a process. It's a process of passing the torch. So at one point, John Lee, and at one point you, weren't a creator and a passer of torches out to other people. You were actually someone looking at someone else saying, or you didn't know, or you went to your first experience. I mean, from your history,
you were kind of always, you know, having festivals and stuff.
Yeah, we started somewhere from someone else's event.
Right. So basically what I'm saying is it's our job or it's your job to identify those people who are like those two ladies who are actually, to put it in a bad way, starting to catch on fire. And those are, I mean, people will come to the festival and they'll leave and you won't see them, or maybe they'll be back next year. But the people who really get energized and who want more, basically, that you, those are the people that you want to grow you want to grow them into being people who will be organizers like you are. Those are the people that you want to reach out to. And basically, those are the people that you want to reach out to and say, I have this many hours of work that I could give you for organizing for drum movers or for this other thing. Because
I think it is even stronger than that. I think they want to become organizers.
That's what I mean. So basically, your job is to reach out to them and basically say, hey, I know you're energized. Do you want, and you basically give them an offer. You basically say, if you don't have something that's right in front of you that you want to start organizing for yourself, don't want to lose the fire that's in your eyes.
Definitely.
I want you to have I want you to continue to have something that you can organize until you get your own.
Yeah, there's a spark came in them. I don't want to lose that.
Right. So basically you say to them, I don't want to lose that. What I want to give you is I want to give you either, hey, if they've got their own ship and they go off sailing, you know, organizing, and that's great, but they probably won't have that for a year. Or they probably won't have that for 3 years.
Well,
you know what?
I do things year-round, and this might be a chance where we can coordinate smaller things in between while we plan for the next big event. Because it really does take a year to plan a big event.
Right.
At least 10 months. Well, I should already be planning next Touch Mother Earth 2019.
So, gosh.
And you know what? With these new energies, we're going to test it out August 24th to 26th at Hope Hill Farm. And if these ladies are, what they've shown to me, they are charismatic, they're healers, their vibe is perfect. Why would I not want to work with people that are positive?
I really see this going
in the next direction.
Yep.
Maybe we'll bring some Beatles into this.
Oh, God.
Why not?
Why not?
Love me do.
Oh, no. So thank you for jumping on the radio this evening, and let's connect a little bit before the show next week, and figure out who's going to be on and if we need to talk about anything else before we go on next week. All right.
Beautiful connecting with you again. I always love speaking with you. You're a wonderful host, and you bring great energy to all of us. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night, Dave. Have a good one. Good night, everyone. My name is Alan Ritter. You can find me at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. You can find Dave at Touch Mother Earth Events or touchmotherearth.com or .org. Is it .com, Dave?
.com.
.com, touchmotherearth.com,
As always, see you next week. Dave's on next week to talk about Touch Mother Earth at Hope Hill Farm. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.